from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust cause we'll be crushing it up. Somebody say you
everybody, happy Tuesday. Today on a radio show, let's see. Just on Friday, on Tuesday. It's a little touch and go. May still be a little touch and go. Charles is in New Orleans on family obligations. And so Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C. So there was a time yesterday when he was saying he may or may not be able to join us. I did get a text, brief text today, saying he wanted to talk about CrowdStrike. That is still a freaking mess.
What did I see? 3,500 Delta flights?
It's just unbelievable. I saw Jessica Benson is driving back across the country. She's stuck. Jonah Dillon is.
I wish that drive on no one.
Is that a bad drive?
It's not fun.
What's so bad about that drive?
From a lot Las of desert. Vegas?
A lot of desert?
A lot of desert. Not a lot of scenery. And it's a lot of I-40 as well.
I hadn't hit the middle. Do you come through Kansas in the end? Kansas, I actually liked Kansas more than I thought driving through Kansas. It was flat but picturesque. Now, out there on the Las Vegas side, I imagine it's a little desolate.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Do you ever aspire to getting them... You know, some people... You know what I'd really like to do? I'd really like to get a camper and just spend a year driving around there, seeing our country.
You know the answer to that.
You're exactly right. It did strike me that that is not something you'd be signing up for. It appeals to me. I would enjoy that.
I am someone who enjoys driving, but I'm also someone that's like, I need a base.
Yeah, no. Under this stipulation, you would have no base.
Yeah,
I have an issue with the dogs. I don't know. You can't have the dogs, and maybe if I was down to one dog and a smaller dog, and then the question is, what kind of camper do you want? Do you want one of these,
I can't afford?
Do you want a giant ass camper that you're in a huge truck when you're driving? The whole idea of a camper seemed nice to me is if you can sleep in it while you're driving. Well, someone else is driving and you can sleep and go and lounge. Other people have the ones that you haul, like on a pickup truck,
right?
You know? And that's more convenient because you unhook that sucker and you got yourself a pickup truck.
So to me, when I hear the word camper, I think camper is an attachment versus an RV or a bus.
Fine. What would you like? You want a bus? You want a Jera bus? Like a?
I mean, if I were going to do it, but like I could never afford that life.
No. It's gifted to you for the year.
Yeah, I would do the bus, like a touring bus.
You know, they have smaller ones. One of my nephews. It is amazing how it works. One of my nephews. You know, I've got siblings who because sometimes they struggle to pay their bills, right? Like whatever. And then I have other siblings. I have a nephew who got into some medical software thing, when he was young. It's one of the first five or whatever it was.
Bruce Ryan?
No, but similar. It was Flatiron Health was the, and I've never asked him how much money he has, but he doesn't have to work again. And he's got I think it's a Mercedes Sprinter kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like
Penny has.
Yeah, that would seem like the magnificent, you know. And then I guess you have a scooter or something for when you get there. What do you
sure.
have?
Sure.
Tool around when you get there.
Smart car.
I don't know how I started on this topic.
By the way, now that you mentioned that, my buddy's stepbrother works at NVIDIA, and he's like been doing
that. Is that true?
Yeah. He's like
it's funny that you can't.
No, he does. He has no idea. He asks. He goes, "Is my buddy rich, or is my stepbrother rich?" And we're like, "Yeah, he is."
I think you really can't. Well, what is it? Is the expression comparison is the thief of joy? What is it? If you are always looking, and it's really hard not to because of social media, if you are always looking at people who have more than you. It's just a devastating way to go through life. I'm not saying you.
No.
But it's tempting. I mean, why can't I be the guy who at age, 29 got invested and said, well, you know what? That's most Americans are out there just trying to figure out how to pay for their groceries. And so there's no use in going on Facebook and looking at the person who's working for wherever, NVIDIA or whatever else, who's making them $10 bazillion and then have work again.
No, I completely agree. I mean, the reality is when you do the numbers, if you're always trying to compare yourself.
There'll always be someone who has more than you. Correct. And so.
Unless you're Bezos, I guess.
And is Bezos, where's Bezos, Ballmer, who's like Musk? It doesn't really matter. Rankings. Pear is up there, too. Anyway, today on the radio show.
Musk is apparently one.
Musk is one. Today on the radio show.
Don't get divorced.
Fish on Friday, on Tuesday. That's in the second hour. And Chris Harrington, also in the second hour, straight up. We'll talk to him about the Summer League, which came to an end yesterday. The Grizzlies falling in OT. Dramatic game. We'll talk about that in a minute. 120 to 118 to the Miami Heat. So that's the lineup. We'll talk about the Grizzlies here amongst ourselves here in just a moment. Before that, I did want to give you the breaking news, Jeffrey, from Dallas. The Memphis Tigers have been picked to win the American in the 2024 AAC preseason media poll. The most points in the preseason poll with 409, in addition to having the most first-place votes, 23. Number two was UTSA with 368 points and 4 first-place votes. Then Tulane with 362 points and a pair of first-place votes. And then South Florida picked to finish fourth with 339 points. And so there you go. That is the divide. It goes Memphis 409, UTSA 368, Tulane 362, South Florida, 339. And then there's a big drop to Army at 236.
Who did get a first-place vote.
Army did, in fact, oddly enough, get a first-place vote. The issue is, and this is what's, and that's good. Let's be honest. Good, great, fantastic.
So I am, right? I am nearly certain, I have done the research, but if there are Tiger football historians,
Have they ever been picked to finish first?
I put it on Twitter. They've been picked to win the division. We know for a fact they've never been picked to win the AAC. I've gone back, and there in 2004, there were some preseason magazines that picked Memphis to win, but they were not the favorite. Louisville and TCU were the favorites.
Let me ask you this, of course. I don't mean to like be a downer here.
Yep.
Is one of the reasons they're picked to win that the teams that typically over the last 15 years would be picked to win ahead of them?
Yeah. No, I mean, the lack of UCF and
right.
Cincinnati.
Normally,
for sure,
you'd be picked behind UCF, Cincinnati, Houston.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they'd been
various times,
but the other two were almost consistently ahead.
Still, last year none of those teams were in there, and they were not picked to finish first. So this is an accomplishment, and it is once again a sign of hope and momentum and expectation for the new year. Memphis with 409, according to historian Jeffrey Wright, first time ever picked to win the conference. Are you willing to stake your history?
I am willing to say that because the other, so from 73 through 95, they're independent. Then there's like a 4 or 5 year stretch where they're in the Missouri Valley. I just find it hard to believe there were preseason predictions for the Missouri Valley in the late 60s, early 70s.
So here's the tricky thing, though, Jeffrey. Normally, let's be honest, you look at the teams on their schedule and they all just kind of blend together as what once were.
Yeah, also, no, that's the reality.
Once we're also rants, right?
That's the reality of conference CUAAC.
Whatever, you know, East Carolina, South Florida, North Texas, UTSA, whatever. But there are better teams, and there are worse teams. And the better teams, according to this poll, in addition to Memphis, are UTSA, Tulane, and South Florida. Clear gap between that one, those, and the others. Starting with Army, then Florida Atlantic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Memphis plays UTSA, and they play them on the road. Memphis plays Tulane, and they play them on the road. Memphis plays South Florida, and they play them on the road. I think there are, as you look with great anticipation towards this season, there are reasons to be concerned. One is, okay, they haven't done it before. Like, we're excited about the season, but, like, they haven't done it under Ryan Silverfield before. Let's see it, right? The others could be you could break down position groups and say, you know what? I'll believe in this defensive backfield when I see it, right? If
sure.
you want to, whatever. But to me, is this not, in fact, the biggest reason for concern? That a team that has historically, under Ryan Silverfield, not been good on the road, much better last year, by the way, although there were some incredibly narrow escapes against Charlotte, UAB, and North Texas, all miracles, sort of, right, that they pulled those out, that they're playing the other three best teams in the conference and playing them on the road.
It's the concern for me.
It is the concern. And it's the reason I saw that Phil Steele did not pick the Tigers to win the conference. Because, really? You're going to really go to Tulane and win? UTSA and win? South Florida and win? Those are your none of them. You don't even have one of them at home. All three of them, you play all three, and you play all three on the road.
I mean, to me, like, that's the number one concern. Like,
would you pick them to win the conference? If literally, here's the truth. I, Jeffrey, am giving you a tricked out sprinter van. If you can tell me who wins the conference, who are you picking?
Okay, that's
to win
a
the
different
conference?
Question, though,
because you don't want one. No,
correct. I want the field.
No. You don't get the field. You have to tell
me.
So
if I got
to
pick one,
you have to
Memphis.
Identify the team that's going to win the conference. And if you get it right, I will give you. No, I won't. A tricked out sprinter van.
You'll give me a damaged Toyota Sienna.
You know, I told you
the result of a hit and run.
The Toyota Sienna is looking very sharp because I took it to the car wash the other day. So
If I can only pick one, I'm picking Memphis. With that being said, if I get Memphis or the field, I'd rather have the field.
I think that is totally reasonable to take the field over Memphis. The question is, would you take UTSA over Memphis?
So weirdly, and maybe I'm going to be proven wrong, I think if there's going to be a stubbing of the toe, I think it's going to be Tulane. I think Tulane's in a good spot quietly.
No one's talking about it. Lose their coach, lose their quarterback. You know what they got? They got a good coach and they got a good quarterback. It's funny how that works sometimes. If you replace the coach and the quarterback with a good coach and a good quarterback. So Tulane would be your number two. Anyway, that's great. And then yesterday, of course, we had it actually got a fair amount of attention. I know what's well read over the Daily Memphian, and the destruction. Maybe that's a little bit of a dramatic word. The destruction of the Liberty Bowl got a fair amount of attention. I think it just finally dawned on people. Holy crap! You know, like holy crap, it's really coming down. Now the whole thing isn't coming down, and some people were disappointed. There was no dynamite. Of course, there wasn't dynamite because most of the stadium is standing, and nor was there a wrecking ball. Sadly, there was no wrecking ball.
Dynamite costs a lot of money.
Needs to be a little more precise. Than I think a wrecking ball would allow. And so you had these excavators. That's what they were called because I asked. They had these excavators, and they had.
Can we get that at Mid-South Ag?
And they had. You can probably. You should absolutely, if you are interested in a tractor. And I mean like a smaller, one of these smaller case tractors, absolutely fantastic. Go to Mid-South Ag because it's fun to drive heavy equipment, ladies and gentlemen. So whether you are bush hogging or whether you're mowing a big chunk of property or whatever you are doing with your tractor, go to Mid-South Ag. It's a Case IH tractor. Never mind green. Go Big Red. Right there. Highway 302 in Byhalia. Right now, by the way, 0% financing. Highway 302 in Byhalia. Heavy equipment's fun. Driving machinery's fun. They didn't have one of these tractors from Mid-South Ag, but they did have excavators. And I don't know what you'd call them. They had these, they were basically banging against the side of the wall, punching holes in the wall in strategic places to make it come down. And then they had a lobster claw that was tearing at the wall. It's going to be down in 3 weeks. It is going to look very different during football season. I'll tell you that. It is going to look very different during football season. And so that was exciting. I think there was a sense of, as I wrote in a column at the Daily Memphian, there was nostalgia without regret.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like sometimes when a stadium comes down, you feel sad because it's gone and you had so many memories in that place. Here you had nostalgia without regret because the stadium's still going to be there. It's just presumably going to be better. And so you don't have to wax nostalgic about the time you saw Steve McNair and Eddie George play for the Oilers at the Liberty Bowl, or the time you saw Reggie White play at the Liberty Bowl, or the time, whatever it was, whatever you saw the glories of the Memphis football program winning the conference championship at the Liberty Bowl, because Liberty Bowl is still going to be there. So it was a good day. It was interesting. I did say this, Jeffrey, and tell me if you agree.
All right.
That if all you're getting for $120 million of public money is a nicer stadium that's used half a dozen times a year for the Memphis football team, that is not a great expenditure of public money. It's a great expenditure of public money if you're getting something else ultimately.
Right? Yeah, I mean, the idea would be it is an investment to get somewhere else.
And again, no, I think both of us would say, is it seem likely that they're going to get into a Power 5 conference as they once envisioned? No, because even if they do, it'll be some watered down version of the ACC or whatever else, right? It's not going to be, it's no longer you're over the wall or you're not.
Right. But it is still clearly better than this.
But it's clearly better. And I do not at all rule out the possibility that there is something better than this ahead of them, perhaps. That there can be.
Yeah.
That there can be something better than this ahead of them.
Yeah.
And very clearly, if you don't have that stadium, a better stadium, it's disqualifying. I can say all I want that the lines of the Liberty Bowl are great, and they are elegant. I like driving by it. I can say all I want that the Liberty Bowl, the sight lines are beautiful, and that's true. The truth of the matter is, it was laughed at. The Liberty Bowl, as it had, what it had become, was not good enough. It was, in fact, disqualifying. So whatever you had in mind for the University of Memphis as a better destination, it was disqualifying to have that stadium. Now, okay, we've checked that box. It's just like if you're applying for a job and they say, must have a college degree.
Right.
If you have a college, have a college degree, doesn't mean you're going to get that job. But you got to have the college degree to even be in the running. And it's the same thing with this stadium. Doesn't mean you're going to get into a power conference, whatever that means. But if you don't have a better stadium, forget it. And so that's what happened yesterday. It's a good day for Memphis football and a good morning today as they are picked to win the conference. I had another question about Memphis football I wanted to ask Jeffrey. In fact, I'll plant the seed in your head right now. We can revisit it later. Maybe not today. If you were to rank the Memphis quarterbacks since 2000, don't do it now. Just ponder it. What's the right order? Because you had, in order, of the ones who would be in this, you had Danny Wimprine, you had Paxton Lynch, you had Riley Ferguson, you had Brady, and you had Seth. Five that are clear winners, right? Five really good University of Memphis quarterbacks. And so I will ask you, not who's going to be a pro or whatever else. I'm going to ask you, you get them to be your college quarterback. Which one are you taking for a season? At their best, you get them for a season. Which one are you taking? I don't think it's obvious. I've gone back and forth on this. I'll ask you more about it later. In the meantime.
And I can't take Billy Bearfield?
You sadly cannot. There are some others in between. Who is in between Danny Wimprine and Paxton Lynch that we missed besides Billy Bearfield?
My boy Will Hudgens.
Oh, yeah, Will. Yeah. He just with all due respect, nice guy. Had some moments. No.
No, he's definitely not on there. Okay, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. So we would have obviously had, Patrick Byrne, who I remember getting.
Patrick Byrne.
He was going to get his first start and then broke his ankle like the first series.
Nice guy. I think he worked at ALSAC.
There's some really bleak quarterback years in there. Maurice Avery was fun.
He was fun as a non-quarterback playing quarterback. He played, in fact, when he had D'Angelo, he was handing off to D'Angelo.
I mean, they ran that zone read before, like, the zone read became, like, everybody's offense, and that was a ton of fun. Who was that guy? Neil Suber? Remember
Neil
him?
Suber, absolutely. Neil Suber. He was a...
We are doing the move. We are doing the thing that women laugh at men about where we can just
name random
guys. We're like, remember
Neil Suber. Yeah. Right, all right. Anyway, I'm going to need you to put those in order at some point. Meanwhile, the Memphis Grizzlies lose tragically to the Miami Heat 120-118, sparing us the question of where you do have the Summer League Championship Parade. Elam ending. And so it's first 1-7, and Grizzlies had their chances. It was fun watching this go back and forth.
I even texted my wife who's on a work trip. I was like, this is actually a hell of a
game. I actually taped it and watched it later, and someone who shall not be named texted me and said, the charge happened at 9:01. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I was not able to watch it live, so I watched it later. And he said, oh, well, and I won't tell you. Didn't want to ruin the suspense. Anyway, Jake LaRavia and Josh Christopher going back and forth with bombs in overtime. That was fun. They got the benefit of the reversal there, which surprised me. But once again, it was Scottie Pippen and Gigi Jackson, both, by the way, Summer League All-Stars. Scottie Pippen, 29 points, 11 assists. Gigi Jackson, 28 points. Some unfortunate free throw shooting. 9 rebounds again, which is a point that Chris Harrington has made, that among the tools that you like to see from Gigi Jackson are, it's important that the wings be good rebounders, because let's be honest, Jaren's not.
Mm-hmm.
So you had 9 rebounds again from Gigi Jackson. He has rebounded from that first atrocious Summer League start to play very well. And then Jake LaRavia doing everything he could possibly want. Coming back, 32 points. Fun game. Had the chance. Had their chances. Free throws cost them.
Well, free throws cost both teams.
That's true, too. But in the end, given that we only saw really one game of Zach Edey, like I was thinking, I don't want the grade the Grizzlies summer yet, because we have Luke Kennard yet to go, and so we're not quite wrapped up there.
Oh, you mean, okay, the offseason.
But yeah, offseason.
Sorry.
But if you were to grade the Grizzlies summer league, you can't give it an A because, and I don't think, because Zach Edey, we didn't see enough of him. It would have been, can you give it an A?
So, I mean, you
what
can.
What we saw of him was excellent.
You can give summer league an A because they performed almost each and every night. Like even in their all of their losses are basically either what, overtime or a last second shot.
No, but summer league really is about what you want to see. And the truth of the matter is that what you wanted to see, by and large, was perfect. What you wanted to see from Scottie Pippen was him look like he didn't belong in summer league, and that's what he looked like. Right?
Yep.
And give you great confidence that you don't need another point guard, that you have between the other secondary ball handlers who can fill in when Ja isn't playing point guard, the Des Baines and Marcus Smarts and whatever, and then the mentor himself, Derrick Rose, and then Scottie Pippen Jr., who allows you the luxury of Derrick Rose, really. That's what he does. The presence of Scottie Pippen Jr. as an effective backup on a two-way allows you the luxury of a backup like Derrick Rose, who may not play all that much.
Yes.
So you saw everything you possibly could have wanted from Scottie Pippen. You saw most things you could have wanted from Gigi.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'm not going to hold one bad.
But even then, you might have liked a little more evidence of him as a ball mover, but basically what you wanted to see from Gigi. Came in and was superb.
Yeah.
And athletically, I mean, his ability to get shots is top of the league. I mean, he is athletically, you understand why he was once upon a time the highest rated high school player in the country. That's what he looks like. Just moving, you know. And then he had the one bad game, rebounded from that, plus a total breath of fresh air, a joy to see. And then I think probably the happiest surprise, Jake LaRavia.
I think it was more of a confirmation that he looked like he did at the end of last season when he looked like he belonged.
100%. Looks like he belongs. He's not Zaire Williams. There is still hope for Jake LaRavia. There's certainly hope for Jake LaRavia in the role that he will have,
yes,
which will be not in the rotation. But in the end, as we've seen, players get hurt. There will be nights when he will play, and I'm totally comfortable with that.
Yep.
And I would not have said that last year. Right?
Yes, totally agree.
So we saw everything you wanted from, and then with Zach Edey, honestly, we saw everything we wanted from Zach Edey.
We just didn't see enough of it.
We just didn't see enough of it. So that's literally the only quibble you would have is, I wanted more Zach Edey.
Yep.
Is that, so maybe is it an A-?
I'm giving him an A-.
Zach Edey, by the way, is the favorite to win NBA Rookie of the Year, which I think is not a smart bet.
Here's where it would be a smart bet.
Hey, let me give you some. Let me give you. This is again. This is one book. Sportsbetting.ag. AG. Zach Eadie at 6-1. Reed Shepard 7-1. Risa Shea 7-1. Saar 8-1. Buzelis 9-1. Along with Stefan Castle 9-1. Dalton Connect 11-1. Rob Dillingham 12-1. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Where I think it would be a smart...
Scottie Pippen, by the way, 150-1. Go ahead, he's on the board now.
Where I think it would be a smart bet is the fact that he's clearly going to have a defined role versus the other top rookies, in my opinion, and he's going to play a lot more, presumably.
Well, that is absolutely right. I mean, we've said this a million times at this point. He is likely to start. He is likely to start game one, and there is no other rookie who you can be certain is going to start game one. So
I also think he's got a chance to have some pretty good numbers.
Can he, with 11 points a game, eight rebounds and two blocks?
I think his numbers are going to be pretty good, because if you think about what we've seen in summer league, to me, one of the bigger frustrations for me when Eadie was on the floor is oftentimes he'd set a nice screen, roll to the basket. Well, Ja's going to get him the ball. That's going to be a lot of easy points. And then further, I think he's going
to... Is he, though? I mean, Ja absolutely has the ability to get him the ball.
I think Ja is.
Priorities, Ja, Dez, Jaren, and I'm going to tell you this, by the way. Marcus Smart is going to start at the beginning.
I agree.
He likes to have his shots.
Mm-hmm.
So where's Zach Eadie? Who's he taking his shots from?
I think you're going to see Jaren not have as many shots next year.
Well, as clearly as this year, very clearly. I just think he'll put up some numbers. I guess to me, he has a defined role, and there's no one else compelling to pick. That's the other thing. To me, listen, Reed Shepard is compelling to pick. He was on the he was also on the All Summer League team, along with Khalil Ware, Jordan Miller, and then the two Grizzlies. Were our first team All Summer League. Weirdly enough, Jalen Wilson, who was MVP of Summer League.
That was a first for me.
Was on the second team All Summer League, so that was bizarre. People are like, how could that happen? It happens because I'm presuming there are different selectors, right?
Or just because his... I have no idea.
So Reed Shepard seems like he'll put up numbers, but it's unclear what his role will be.
Bingo.
Risa Shea had an abbreviated decent summer, but not great, honestly. Saar was atrocious.
Saar's offensive numbers are just...
He's just not going to be there. That is a ridiculous bet.
I don't hate Connect at plus 1,000. I don't know what your odds are. The ones I'm looking at are plus 1,000.
I'll make two predictions. I'll make a couple of Grizzlies predictions after watching this summer. Or... Not even it, just that fly a little bit in the face of what people are. Derrick Rose is going to play early in the year. Early in the year, Derrick. People are like, I'm not even saying I agree with it or whatever else. I'm just telling you, my suspicion is that when the year begins, after Ja, after Dez at point and after Marcus Smart at point, the next guy to handle the ball is Derrick Rose. Now, he can break down after game one or game three. He can be not play back-to-backs. He can whatever. But everyone, here's the truth. People don't want him to play. They want Pippen to play over him. So they're projecting that's what will happen. But out of respect for Derrick Rose, and because Derrick Rose still thinks he can play, he will play. It's going to be, if you think it's just going to be, we're going to pass over Derrick Rose and play Scottie Pippen, I'd be all in favor of that. I will tell you that's not what's going to happen, at least at the outset to the season.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also think, though, if I could find the prop who plays more regular season games.
100%. Then 100% I pick Scottie Pippen.
But yeah.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yep.
If I'm going to say who plays more minutes in the first 10 games of the season.
It's the same logic for why I agree that Marcus Smart's going to start.
And the other one is that Marcus Smart is going to start, and G.G. Jackson's going to get very limited minutes in the first 10 games of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's likely that G.G. is probably, the ninth or 10th guy in the rotation?
Well, you can count him if you want. So we'll say it's going to be Obviously, Ja, Dez, Jaren, Zach, and Marcus Smart. Okay? Yeah. Right.
Vince, I think his first
guy.
Then we
got Vince coming off the bench. We got Brandon Clark coming off the bench.
Santi and Kennard.
We got Santi coming off the bench, and we got Luke coming off the bench. There you to nine.
And that's where I think he is.
And so he's next.
Yeah.
So he is literally the 10th man. A lot of teams don't. And the Grizzlies do play 10.
Right.
So he will play.
Well, and
by the way, people get hurt.
Exactly.
So he's the 10th man until someone gets hurt, which becomes either becomes the 9th man. Two people get hurt.
Or whatever.
So he will play, and he can play multiple positions. He can play the 4. Like, he will play. But it'll be interesting to see how he handles those minutes. I also am telling you, I believe. Now, maybe not. Maybe they'll be brutally direct and say, Marcus Smart, you're best coming off the bench. And Derrick Rose, you're best being a mentor.
Mm-hmm. But that's going
to
take time.
I think that will take time to get there.
And maybe you and I will be yeah. I don't think we'll be proven wrong about Derrick, because I just don't know if his body can handle.
The question that I may be proven wrong about is will they just start out by putting him in the corner?
Yeah, well, my big deal is I think maybe you and I will be proven wrong that maybe the Marcus Smart, Ja, Dez perimeter works. But I just look at it that it's small.
Well, and plus if Marcus Smart wants to get his shots and wants to be like, he's in a sense, he's sort of better with the second group,
yeah.
It strikes me. Vince Williams blends in perfectly with the first group. He's bigger. He's a tremendous rebounder. He's more apt to play the role that you would want him to play. So, anyway, we'll talk more about that with Chris Harrington when he joins us straight up 10 o'clock. Again, Fish on Friday on Tuesday also will join us in the second hour. If you're getting something framed, Frame Corner Memphis is the place to go. The Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue. When you have something framed, you take it from being just something that's stuck in the corner or in a pile or what I think I'll save this, and you put it on a table in your office or wherever, and it collects dust, and then you notice it's ripped or torn or lost. Whatever happened to Johnny's last jersey from his last high school? No, well, the dog was to play. You forget it framed, it becomes a memory. Something to have, something to display. Something to hand down over time. And they do a beautiful job with their custom framing at the Frame Corner. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Time is running out to get your free summer getaway at Robert Irwin Jewelers. All good things come to an end. Over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, they've been doing this extraordinary sale. Up to 40% off all engagement rings and free vacations with every purchase of $24.95 or more. Incredible. So whatever. You get cruises to the Caribbean. You got stays in resorts in Mexico, the Dominican Republic, Las Vegas. All kinds of options there. All you got to do is spend $24.95 on a engagement ring. So you got the trip, you got the ring, you're all set up, it's perfect, but it ends August 3rd. That's right, it's coming to an end. It ends August 3rd. So head on into Robert Irwin Jewelers. This is the moment, like if you've been thinking about doing it, you might as well take advantage of it. They walk you through the whole thing. They're not high pressure in the least. A total joy to deal with. They've got tremendous financing, 24 months, no interest, or take up to 60 months with a low APR. But again, until August 3rd, you've got this extraordinary deal, up to 40% off all engagement rings and free vacations with every purchase of $24.95 or more. Check it out at any of the 5 locations in Memphis and Little Rock or online at rijewelers.com. Jeffrey, we got NFL news. I wanted you to rank the Memphis Tiger football quarterbacks. You see that Seth Hennigan yesterday destroyed the commissioner in played the new video game.
I would hope so.
27-7.
Yeah.
27-7. And road game for Seth. Mm-hmm. Right?
No question.
It's a road game. I mean, he is from Dallas originally, so he's got roots there.
Yeah.
But they didn't. This wasn't in Memphis. So if we're concerned about him being on the road, very impressive performance. Yes, you would hope. You would hope that the 20-something quarterback
correct.
Could beat the commissioner. But the story, the other story I did want to mention briefly, just a tragic story at the library. Did you see this yesterday?
I had not.
Oh, my God. So they had this fundraiser. And it was an unconventional, wacky fundraiser. I love the library, and I love the people at the library. I've talked to people who are in the library business outside of Memphis, and they rave about what Memphis has done with the libraries. They Memphis libraries, you know, you're no longer just a place you go to check out a book, right? It's a resource. And Memphis Library has done a tremendous job. Well, the Memphis Library Foundation, they had a fundraiser, and they were thinking outside the box. And so this particular fundraiser had tattoo artists giving participants tattoos. Not something you would think would be happening at the library, necessarily, right?
Yes.
Well, not long after this event began, supposed to go from noon to 8 p.m., a man plunged to his death through the library. In the it's got that
the glass
hole in the middle, you know. And it was subsequently ruled to be a suicide. So a man jumped from the top level of the library to the floor of the library and died as this was going on. The story from King Jemison over at the Daily Memphian, who was, by the way, just there to cover this wacky promotion, right? Antonio Adams, who's interim COO for the city of Memphis, said, in order to do what this individual did, there was some level of intent. In other words, you have to want to climb over these barriers.
Right.
They're high enough that you won't fall. And then he said the focus is on the city's mental health services. It's difficult when our citizens are in that kind of pain. So there you go. The other difficult thing is you've got people at this point who are getting their tattoos. They're in the middle of getting their tattoos. When this happens, they've shut down the library for the week, by the way. It's been shut down for the remainder of the week. But what do you do there? So they said the people who had already started getting their tattoos, the foundation waited to alert artists until they'd completed the tattoo they were working on. After that, the foundation checked in with the artist and participants to see if they would be okay to continue. Our biggest concern is a very delicate balance. This is a tragic, very sensitive incident that happened in a public space that we love, that's very important to us, said Christine Weinreich, who is the executive director of the Library Foundation. But we also had a lot of people relying on us. The artist ultimately did about 50 tattoos. It sucked, said tattoo artist Jason Frazier, but we had to keep it going. So there you go. That's just a
brutal,
brutal story. So difficult for any of those who were affected. All right, Jeffrey, we have the NFL story and I have some news we wanted to get to, but very quickly before that, I did ask you earlier, Seth Hennigan heading into his fourth year, and I just started thinking about where does he has a unique place in Tiger football history now, because he's a four-year starter at the time that there are no four-year starters.
And
so I think he is largely responsible for the momentum going into this season, and it's impossible not to be impressed and grateful by what he's done at the University of Memphis. Having said that, if you're ranking quarterbacks of recent vintage, and I'll go back as far as Danny Wimprine, I'll leave it to others to go back, you know, to the Steve Matthews and whatever else before them. But Danny Wimprine, Paxton Lynch, Riley Ferguson, Brady White, and Seth Hennigan. These are different, slightly different questions. If I ask you, who are you taking for a season at their zenith, who do you want, is one question. Who ranks as the greatest Memphis quarterback of that? That's a slightly different question. That's kind of a career accomplishment question, right?
Yes.
Who is the greatest quarterback? Just off the top of your head, who's the greatest quarterback?
All right, I feel pretty good about our rankings. Number one, I'm still going with Paxton. Two.
Why Paxton? For both the answer to both of those questions? He no longer is the all-time anything, I don't think.
Yeah, but I just know, having watched all of these guys in person, Paxton made me say, wow, more than any of the rest of them.
There is no question he was better at wow than Brady White was better at wow. Is that necessarily the job of a quarterback, though? Like, you know what? Brock Purdy doesn't make you say wow.
No, but I would also argue while Paxton had good talent around him, he did not have nearly the talent that particularly Brady had around him.
Is Brady diminished by the fact that he so clear? Is our memory of Brady diminished by the fact that he couldn't couldn't play in summer football? You know what I mean? Like, you saw his limitations, which we all knew were there.
Yeah, no,
he was an extraordinary college quarterback.
No, I don't think that. I mean, I think where Brady gets knocked, and it's not really any fault of his own, is that he just physically was not an overwhelming
player. No, he's not. No, he wasn't. Was Joe Montana? I'm not saying they're the same, mind you. That's not my point.
To me,
there's the John Elway, Josh Allen version of quarterbacking, which is more the Paxton Lynch. And then there's the...
To me, it's like more like it's Werfel versus Peyton Manning.
Well, that's in college.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. That's right. Right. That's fair. I like that. So anyway, you're going Paxton is the greatest.
Yeah. The most underrated Memphis quarterback is Riley Ferguson. If you just want to go pure, when you just start sorting through the numbers, he has the most touchdowns responsible for in a season. I think he has two of the three. He is the number one single season passing touchdowns, and I think he has three as well. And also, his air yards per attempt were almost like, it's almost like a yard past everybody else. Like, he was chunking it. And he was extremely accurate. A lot of touchdown passes. I think Riley was criminally underrated.
Do you think he's number two for you?
Riley would be my two.
Riley would be two. Okay.
Then for all the reasons.
Do you even remember Danny particularly?
Oh, yeah.
You do.
Yeah, the problem is Danny's in this unfair comp. Because if Danny Wimprine were playing in this kind of offense, he would have had massive numbers. But Danny was largely playing in a run first, chunk it.
Are you convinced whether Danny Wimprine or Seth Hennigan is better? Quote-unquote better?
Not really.
I'm not. I don't mean it badly by any of it, but whatever. Are you convinced whether Seth Hennigan or Brady White's better?
I think I would give right
Seth
now.
Seth is the most accomplished. He took him to the Cotton. I mean, Brady's the most. Brady took him to the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, to me, I'm putting Brady ahead because I also think Brady's level of competition was higher.
I mean, you think about Brady stepped in and beat UCF.
Yeah. Single-handedly, almost.
Practically single-handedly.
Yeah. With some help from UCF kicking.
So you're going Paxton, then Riley.
Then Brady.
Then Brady.
Then Seth and Danny.
And that's we're acknowledging that Danny is...
It's a terrible, unfair
competition.
Yes. If Danny got to play in this style of off, like the thing that's obvious
wasn't Riley, I didn't, before I did this, I didn't check the numbers. Wasn't Riley much more turnover prone than Brady?
Not.
I think of him that way, but maybe that's because first year I think of him, you know,
so
playing against Ole Miss.
So Riley had 917 passes, 19 interceptions, whereas Brady had 1,232 attempts, 30 picks.
Yeah, no, that's not, that's...
I mean, the highest passer rating is Riley Ferguson.
That's interesting.
And Riley...
Do you have Paxton's senior numbers? Paxton's numbers for his senior year? Do you have Paxton's numbers for
his junior year?
His junior year, his last year. The year that turned him into I mean, let's be honest. He is a first-round draft pick, and maybe he shouldn't have been. Most quarterbacks bust, right? I mean, most first-round quarterbacks bust. So, but there's a reason that he was the first-round quarterback, and none of the others were.
296 of 443, so that's 66.8%. 3,776 yards, that's 8.5 yards per attempt. 28 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
Has anyone thrown for 4,000 yards?
I believe Riley did.
Riley did. Anyway, well, we can revisit this later. I'm intrigued by it. I'm intrigued by it. And what a great thing to be able to, since 2000, list that many quality quarterbacks at the University of Memphis. It used to be, when is Memphis going to get a quarterback?
Yeah, can they get a quarterback?
Could they get a quarterback? And now, it was the Billy Bearfields of the world, right? And the Maurice Averys and Billy Bearfield, who very famously was known for nipple rings.
All right, so Riley has the single season yardage mark at 4,257. That was his 2017 year. Brady in 2019 threw for 4,014 yards. And then Paxton's at 3776. Brady and Riley also had extra games.
All right, some NFL news. Speaking of quarterbacks, we do have the news. This was yesterday. Jordan Love holding out, but seems all amicable, right? And he is going to get a new contract. He's holding out, but he's there. He's at camp. He's just not practicing until the Packers get him a new deal. Expected to be as much as 5 years, $280 million, going to set a new standard. And are you down with that? Are you a believer? 18 starts.
I mean, in terms of, like, if we're talking quarterbacks, value versus expectation, like, I just throw it out. What choice do they have?
Well, there are three quarterbacks right now who are looking for deals who don't have deals. Dak, Tua, and Jordan Love, right?
Yep.
Put aside price for a moment.
Yep.
Who do you want?
I think I'm going Love, Tua, Dak.
God, you are down on Dak, man.
Did you watch the first did you watch the playoff game?
Yes.
He had the yips.
He had the yips.
He is not a big game quarterback. And what am I paying him for?
Tua has kind of faded himself and he can't stay healthy.
I still have higher hopes for Tua.
You have higher hopes for Tua. I think Jordan Love's the clear one, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but like, there's also like as awesome as he was against the Cowboys, and at times he looked against the Niners, like he still made two of like the worst throws I've ever seen in that Niners game.
Jerod Mayo has announced that Jacoby Brissett will be the starter in New England.
I mean, I think that's what they would like. I think there is the, and I don't think it's wrong. Drake May is extremely talented, but he needs work. And it's not like the Patriots have a lot of weapons out there that are gonna, you know, kind of help bring you along.
It is funny. What are the Patriots trying to do this year? Like, we see teams that aren't necessarily supposed to be good, including, for example, the Titans.
Sure.
Who've, like, loaded up to try to be the best they can be. Like, they keep going out and signing guys, right?
I think it's the – but to me, like,
what
that's
are the Patriots What are the Patriots doing?
I mean, to me, like, if you use the Titans example, the key difference is the division. I mean
– but I don't think the Patriots are – are the Patriots tanking?
I don't know. I don't necessarily know if they're tanking. I just think they're that bad. Like, their roster is really bad. So you just kind of, at a certain point, you're going to have to eat it. I mean, their defense is still pretty solid. But offensively,
the Patriots aren't even going to play their young quarterback. The Titans are going to play their young quarterback.
Yeah.
But maybe the Patriots are where the Titans were last year.
The Patriots are going to eventually play Drake May this year. But it's just, why feed him to the Wolves?
All right. And then I just want to play
also,
this.
Also, Sam Darnold taking first-team reps.
That doesn't surprise me
no,
at all.
Same
I'm
thing.
I'm kind of rooting for him.
Yeah.
He's gotten enough chances, but I'm kind of rooting
I
for him.
I would root for Sam over JJ.
I'd rather
the Vikings be good with Sam Darnold than the Vikings be good with JJ.
I'm not like a Baker Mayfield fanatic like you are. But as he got he got kicked around the league, I started to root for him.
No,
Darnold has not ever had a year like Baker had with Cleveland. So it's not the same. But as Sam Darnold gets kicked around the league, I find myself, you get some dings, whatever else, I find myself rooting for the comeback story.
I'm totally fine with that. Also, I've already won that debate.
Yes, you have won that debate. And then I'm going to play this just because it made me happy. I don't know how I even found it. Had you seen this before I sent it to you?
No, you sent it to me in the middle of yesterday's show, and then as soon as I got off the air, I was like, I find myself agreeing with everything he just said.
They asked Charles Haley. Charles Haley, you remember Charles Haley. He's the former defensive end, kind of a slightly loose cannon.
That's what I like my defensive ends.
Exactly.
What I want from them.
For the Niners and Cowboys? Is that where do you, who do you?
At least.
At least. Probably others. Anyway, he was on, do you know what show this was?
This is Up and Adams with Kay Adams. So San Francisco and Dallas. And then he went back to San Francisco.
Okay. Up and Adams with Kay Adams airs when?
It's a morning show. I think it's on, is it on DraftKings TV or FanDuel? It's on one of the gambling sites.
Anyway, just I'll let you hear it and you'll see why I like it so much.
Who's one player that really sticks out to you?
Well, let me tell you, that white guy in Buffalo that's a quarterback, hey, he is my dog,
that
man.
White
hey,
guy is
that white
dog.
Guy, hey, bro.
That white guy who
oh, Jesus Christ. Oh,
Tony.
My God.
We got a JC
hey.
Out of Charles
Ooh,
Haley.
Jesus Christ.
God, I can't believe you picked an offensive player. Oh. Charles.
Hey, you watch that, brother? Oh, I forgot he white. Hey, hey. You watch that brother, though. He go down there. Hey, man.
Do you consider him Ooh. A brother? Because even, oh. just so, tell me.
See what Josh does to these guys?
What does he do to like these guys?
This? He runs over and get up like this on him? Woo. But I would have tapped him on the shoulder if I was playing and say, hey, you ain't gonna ever do that.
Not today. Not
ever.
Today.
No. That one guy in Memphis, I mean in Buffalo, who plays quarterback. I sometimes conflate Memphis and Buffalo.
By the way, two homes. Charles Haley played at 6'5", 252. Isn't that basically Josh?
That's basically Josh. The other day, last night I was driving around, I was listening to a national show on this very station. I don't know who was talking. And some guy didn't have Josh in his top five. Get out of my face. We're going to take a break, come back, talk to Chris Harrington about Summer League, then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Corner with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Cigarette butts in a coffee cup. Can someone please call my phone? Can we swing by a CVS? I left the contact solution at home. Oh, goodbye, summer.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
And I bet you're the owner of a marriage.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Goodbye Summer by Oddball country singer Johnny Fritz from his album Bad Country. Goodbye to NBA Summer League. So close yet so far.
Grizzlies came so close yesterday. The Elam ending. In the end, they lose 120 to 118 in overtime. What was the best thing that happened for the Grizzlies in Summer League this time around? Single best thing.
Oh, I think even though we didn't see much of it, it was Zach Edey. I mean, you know, he played 43 minutes total, one full game, and then a little 8-minute cameo. But my expectation when they drafted him was he would be the starting center on opening night, and nothing he did those 43 minutes suggested that he won't be. I think we saw everything that we think will be his strengths, he displayed in those 43 minutes. The things that we think will be his weaknesses weren't really tested, so we're going to see about that. But I think, you know, he was the most important player, even though he didn't play a lot. And it was disappointing he didn't play more. When he did play, it was very encouraging.
In terms of that, being the starter on opening night, which you've predicted for a long time now, at this point, do you think it's, like, overwhelmingly likely that he will be? Would you be stunned might be too strong a word. Would you be surprised at this point if he is not the – I mean, is it a foregone conclusion? How would you rank the possibility that he is or rate the possibility that he will be the starter?
No, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion because, you know, what if he comes out and he really struggles, right?
Right.
But I think if he is healthy – if you're, we're always assuming everyone's healthy in these.
Right.
If everyone's healthy, it just makes the most sense. Brandon Clark himself has said he would rather come off the bench behind a big center. You know, you could do Santi. That's sort of, to me, probably more the question. I don't think Brandon Clark's going to start. You know, do you want to play that five-out kind of stuff with Santi? But you just drafted Zach Edey to be your center.
Right.
And he just played 4 years of college basketball. And you don't know whether Santi's going to be on the team a year from now. So I think, like, you know, there's no reason to slow roll this. I mean, you drafted Edey to be your starting center. Let's go.
Okay. What is the second best thing that happened from the Grizzlies this summer? Summer League.
Oh, I think, you know, I mean, Scottie Pippen Jr. was the best player. But, again, I'll go back to who means more. And I think G.G. Jackson, you know, people got so high on him the way he finished last season. But, like, go back to a year ago. G.G. Jackson, Summer League year one, G.G. Jackson, Summer League year two. You want to see dramatic leaps from, like, 1 year to the next. You saw a dramatic leap. He was terrible in game one in Salt Lake City. And then after that, he settled down and he was really good. He was consistently productive. Were there issues here and there? Yeah, he's 19 years old. He's still the youngest player on the Summer League team. But he ended up being, among players who played more than two games, he was the second leading scorer in the Vegas Summer League. He was also a top 10 rebounder in Vegas Summer League. And he showed that three-level scoring, be able to hit threes, be able to use those long strides to get to the rim, to have enough craft to hit some mid-range stuff. He really, really stuck his nose in and hit the boards. And so it's still full speed ahead with G.G. Jackson. Looks like he's going to be a significant NBA player.
In terms of G.G., if you just start listing players who are going to play, you get the five players who we are going to presume starting, and I'll put Marcus Smart in there for now. And then you've got Vince Williams, Brandon Clark, Santi, and presuming they get this done with Luke Kennard. So that makes GG your 10th man in a 10-man rotation. Now, all those players don't play every night, obviously. They get hurt, they rest, whatever else. How do you imagine he will be deployed?
I imagine it will be that. It will be a second-unit guy, a second-unit scorer. But I think there's fluidity in the pecking order. I think... He could easily pass Santi Aldama in the pecking order in terms of, you know, the way he's rebounding, he could, you know, take some of those power forward minutes. I think he could pass Luke Kennard in the pecking order. There's enough versatility there with players that players aren't locked in rigidly. Most players, like Zach Edey is, and Scottie Pippen and John Moran are. But the rest of the roster are not locked into rigid positions. And so I think, you know, he can earn. I mean, it's not impossible he's in the starting lineup if he just forces his way there. And, like, he's the fifth starter. I mean, I think your hope is that eventually that is where you are. But that, I feel like that's, like, 2 years away, but maybe it's not. But I think, you know, there's a potential for him to push his way up. There's also the potential for him to struggle. And if, like, Jake LaRavia is playing well, like, he could be out of the rotation temporarily. And so I think there's a lot of fluidity there. But my assumption is that G.G. Jackson is sort of will be featured off the bench, and we'll see where it goes from there.
All right, we're going in order. So that's the best thing that happened was Zach Edey. Next best thing that happened was G.G. Jackson. And then you got choose between Scottie Pippen looking like he was supposed to look and Jake LaRavia. I guess that's more significant just because he's sort of a bigger investment, right? I don't know. I'd put that number three.
I would put Pippen number three. Okay. I don't think Pippen looked like he was supposed to look. I think he looked better.
Yeah.
And I think even though he is on a two-way and Jake LaRavia and Jalen Wells are going to be on the main roster, I think there's more of a need. There's more of a clear need on the team for Pippen, for to have a true guard who is playable because you're not going to get a lot from Derrick Rose. You know, you can play without the true guard, which I think they will a lot, but they really need that option. And I think Pippen is highly likely. He's almost certain to play more than Jalen Wells. There's a good chance he plays more than Jake LaRavia. You know, and there's a good chance he makes it onto the main roster before the season's over. I think he was really, really good. His defense was on ball was pretty destructive. I think he showed, you know, more growth in terms of using his physicality to sort of get into the lane and to finish shots in the paint. I think the big thing is that he seemed in control. Like with a point guard, you want the sense of like they are in control of things and they are leading the team. And he had that sort of presence about him in the summer league. So I think he should have been the MVP in the summer league, even in the Grizzlies lost last night. I think start to end, he was the best player in summer league.
Did you ever see Jalen Wilson or note Jalen Wilson's summer league that allowed him to be both second team all summer league and league MVP?
No, I just box scores. I wasn't watching a lot of Niners.
right.
But it was one of these weird things. Well, clearly there were different pools of voters for some reason. Because, you know, he was second team all summer league, and then he won MVP. And so it's some question about different pools of voters, you know.
So on Scottie Pippen Jr., the way I phrased it earlier was, his presence allows you to have Derrick Rose. You know, it makes Derrick Rose mentor possible, sort of. Right. I do wonder, both with the Marcus Smart, Vince Williams question of who's going to start, and the Scottie Pippen, Derrick Rose question, who's effectively going to be the backup point guard when it's not Desmond Bane or Marcus Smart, on the ball. I do wonder, for both of them, it will take a while to get to. I think most fans at this point would say, I think Vince Williams should start. Logic suggests that the fit would be better if Vince Williams started. And I think most fans would say, I kind of believe in Scottie Pippen Jr. now more than Derrick Rose. I do wonder if the first 10 games, it will be the other way. Like, if Derrick Rose is going to get more minutes in the first 10 games than Scottie Pippen Jr., and if Marcus Smart is going to start the season in the starting lineup more likely than Vince Williams. Your thoughts?
Well, I do think Marcus Smart is likely to start. I think Vince Williams makes more sense in purely basketball terms. A, if you fully believe what you saw from Vince Williams last season. And then B, if you only consider him pure X's and O's fit. But I think it's right to consider other things. So I think Marcus Smart will likely start. Those other things, to your point, may influence your use of Derrick Rose. Because even though he may be there mostly for locker room reasons, you want to respect him enough to get him on the floor. At least I think that's the way coaches will feel about it. I'll be curious to see how much they do that. I think it's pretty clear from a basketball standpoint that even when you factor in your two ways, he's like your 15th, 16th guy on an 18-man roster at best. I just think that's pretty clear at this point. So I would hope you wouldn't fool around too much. Like, I don't think they should say, like, he's playing 15 minutes a night until he gets hurt. Like, I just don't think that's the way they should be approaching it.
Right. All right, so then we've discussed Zach Edey, number one, second, Gigi Jackson's second best thing that happened. Scottie Pippen, in your mind, is the third best thing, his summer league. And then I take Jake LaRavia. What has he played himself into now? Has he played himself into a, hey, now he's actual tradable for value? Or, hey, now he's a guy who, when injuries happen, can move into the 10-man rotation?
I don't know. Yeah, I think more the latter. I saw someone on Twitter say, like, this is, you should trade Jack now, like, you know, sell high. I don't think he has a lot of trade value. I don't think he's a drag anymore. I think he's at least neutral. Like, if I were a rebuilding team, I would gladly 100%. Just take Jake LaRavia, but I wouldn't, like, give up a first round pick for him, you know. And so I think he probably has more value to you as a player than as a trade piece at the moment. Because the reality is, you are going to have injuries. You do need more than 9 or 10 guys. You're going to be using most of your roster, and I think he has started. If he has not established himself as a legit, like, playable NBA guy, he seems pretty close to that to me. It hasn't happened in meaningful NBA basketball. It's happened in, like, running out the string NBA basketball, and it's happened in summer league, and those are different things. But I think there's enough variety of skill there. There's enough pedigree there. That now, when you put it all together, I feel comfortable with Jake LaRavia as a contributing player on the team. I do think he's on the outside looking in terms of the rotation. He'll have to earn his way into more. But I think the main thing for the Grizzlies is you hope that, you know, when you need him, and you will, he will be able to help you.
It is interesting. And looking at this, looking at the summer league, obviously we would have liked to see more minutes from Zach Edey. But there have been, you know, last summer league, you looked at what Jake LaRavia did, and it was kind of disappointing, right? There have been times that we have certainly had summer leagues that were, some guys were good, but some guys, maybe it's not the end of the world, but kind of disappointing. I don't think there's anyone, like Cam Spencer was, that was kind of intriguing. And Jalen Wells, you saw enough just in terms of size and shooting, and you know he's raw, that I don't come away feeling... There is no one I come away from this summer feeling worse about than I did going into it. Every single one of them, I actually think I feel slightly better about them. All the ones that matter.
I think that's true. I think, you know, with the other three guys you don't really talk about, Spencer, Wells, and Jemison, With Spencer, I would say, and I'm writing a summer league wrap-up column, and it'll go up today. And this is basically a sentence I've written or whatever. But Cam Spencer as a two-way player is in the John. He's the John Conchar type of two-way player. He's not a developmental player. He's a you have to prove what you do works at this level player. And that's sort of it. Like, either it's going to work or it won't. And if it works, he'll be on an NBA roster pretty soon. And if it doesn't, then he won't be in the NBA. Like, I don't, you know, whatever. I don't think he's like a long-term two-way guy. And so there's reason to wonder about his athleticism. But, like, he was really good at the highest level of college basketball. He was really good when he played in summer league. And so you just keep working your way up. And then you see, you know, if it works, it works. With Jalen Wells, you can see the outlines of why he was an attractive pick in the second round. He's a 6'7" guy who can shoot, and he's not a one-dimensional shooter. Like, he can, like, put the ball on the floor and you know, take a step back and, you know, sidestep around a defender, and, you know, he's got some of that to his game. He kind of disappeared for stretches. He kind of struggled with physicality, like finishing at the rim and stuff like that. I think it's going to be a question of him, of, like, do you consistently make shots, and can you defend at a decent level? And, like, time will tell, but it's certainly at least a maybe with that stuff. Like, you can definitely see how he can be a good contributing NBA player. With Jemison, I just don't know. Right. I think I've said this before in the show, but I think he might be a little bit of a developmental tweener. He's already 24. I think he's too old to be, like, a long range. We're developing this guy, but I think he's still too raw to be, like, the Scottie Pippen, like, you're really playing for us on the big team one or two way. So I think he was okay in summer league, but I feel like the Grizzlies should be on the lookout for, like, their front court Scottie Pippen Jr. if that player materializes somewhere else.
All right. Talking to Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. He's got a summer league wrap up that will be coming out shortly. And then he has a summer wrap up that is still waiting. Luke Kennard. Did the Sam Hauser 4 years, $45 million, surprise you, or do you think it complicates?
No, and I don't think I sort of, in what I've written, I've got, like, some Luke Kennard comp, like, you know, comp contract thing I mentioned. I don't think I'm going to include that as a comp. The thing with the Hauser thing is, A, he's younger, bigger, healthier.
Right.
But then, B, that he was not a free agent. That is a rookie extension that will kick in a year from now. And so that contract will begin in the context of a higher salary cap than the one that Luke Kennard's contract will exist in this season. So I don't see that as a real comp situation. It is interesting that Gary Trent Jr. apparently signed for a one-year minimum. You know, I mean, Malik Beasley signed for like 1 year or six. You know, it's been a kind of a rough summer for players of that type. But we'll see. I don't think Kennard's deal is going to be as low as those two. But I think it will be lower than maybe what we thought a month ago. We'll see. I've reached the point now where I don't really understand why it's taken so long.
Right.
Unless it's like the Marcus All Memorial, like I'm on a boat somewhere, like we're in no hurry situation. I just really don't know.
Chris, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You can read both those pieces shortly over at the Daily Memphian. Jeffrey, we did not mention the Team USA's second consecutive close escape to Germany. This happened, by the way, you were on the air.
Yes.
And you had a basketball expert with you.
Indeed.
On the air. And so that was good as this was unfolding.
And I give Herd all the credit in the world, because I said I just really wasn't all that concerned about what happened on Saturday with the South Sudan. It's like, whatever, it's a showcase. They're tuning up. And he's like, I don't know. And then now we're at the point with the Germany thing where it's like, okay, maybe this team, like, functionally.
I am to the point where I, of course, expect them to win the gold.
Yes.
But if they don't, like, either one of these games, and I get it, it's South Sudan, you know. But the truth of the matter is they're going to feel like they're better than every team anyway. Maybe the gold medal. Like, when are they going to be 100% locked in? Like,
I mean,
like
the one time we saw them 100% locked in was they went up against Serbia.
And destroyed
them. Because of Jokic.
And
they were very – they were – offensively, they weren't great against Canada, but defensively, Canada was just an absolute hell.
And they have – they're good at – like, it will not – I guess I'm to the point where after you've witnessed these last two games, how can it surprise you if – whatever, the semifinals, they go up against a team that bombs in 17 threes and they lose.
Well,
I just don't see how that can be. It would surprise me in that it's not what I think is likely to happen, but I won't be stunned. And by the way, I won't even be that depressed.
No, I'll...
Like, I mean, the truth of the matter is, like, it's... I was depressed. I literally watched that game in 72 when they lost to Russia.
Well, like, they were cheated.
And when they were cheated by those cheating Russians. Mm-hmm. And then I was depressed. I obviously want them to win. USA, USA, USA. But whatever. Like, it will not stun me if we've seen what we've seen against South Sudan and now a very good, well-coached, cohesive German team. It will not stun me if they lose.
I think that's the other thing that you realize is, yes, this team is so immensely talented, but there is something that when you're going up against these teams that play better team basketball, like at times when you watch the Team USA, it feels like they're just taking turns.
And is it, and to me, is it good news that they're being carried by LeBron, or is it bad news that he's 39 years old? And in the end, so they just hand it to LeBron.
I'm okay with it in this format. If it's like a 7-game series and you're going to play like 4 of them, I don't feel as great. But when it's just LeBron like amping up for one game, you know, I guess it'll be total like six total games, that's when I think it's fine.
The head of the Secret Service, by the way, has resigned. She testified yesterday on Capitol Hill, did not give, and this is, by the way, this is something that has unified our country. We are unified in thinking the Secret Service did not do a great job.
Yeah, like
did
what
not
happened?
Do a spectacular job. You can be Republican or Democrat, and you don't think the Secret Service did a magnificent job. So anyway, she has now resigned. We'll talk to Fish on Friday. Our man in Washington, D.C., Charles Fishman, we'll talk to him coming up next. Before then, I will tell you, if you are selling your house, it can be stressful. House across from me, it's been on the market, been on the market. Been on the market. I walk my dogs every night. Still on the market. I want it to sell. I want them to get every dollar because it's my neighborhood. Still on the market. If you don't want to go through this rigmarole, call Josh Issa because Josh will make an instant cash offer at full market value for your home. Sarah, this woman who lived in East Memphis did this recently. She's like, I don't want to like pour money into fixing it up and then having open houses and then pricing it. No, I'm going to call Josh. And within 48 hours, he'd gone over, done a walkthrough, and bought the home as is, paid in cash, whole process, easy peasy. Josh Hysaw will do that for you as well. It's Josh Hysaw, 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147, or go to the website, joshhasthebuyers.com. Fish on Friday coming up next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C., author of 3 New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also a 3-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for excellence in business writing and retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand. We're always grateful to have Charles every Tuesday, highlight of my week, but particularly grateful this week because he's got his hands full. He's in New Orleans, and he joins us now. How are you, Charles?
It's the highlight of your week compared to... all the other times I talked to you, this is it.
No, the radio. It's one of the highlights. Okay, let's put it this way. It's one of the highlights.
There we go.
Of the radio week.
Qualify it back down.
On Tuesday between 10 and 11, along with Chris Harrington as the other highlight of that hour. So there. Yeah.
I'll tell you what the highlight of my week is these days is Sam Hardiman.
Sam's good.
And I just want to say that I listened to the Sam Hardiman segment.
Yeah.
And listeners to my segment may not know this, but last week he talked about predicted bond ratings for the city of Memphis.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, in my segment, we talk a lot about the Federal Reserve, interest rates.
Yeah, that's big stuff.
Corporate earnings.
You're like,
inflation.
Get off my turf, Sam!
If the guy is going to start talking about bond ratings, we're going to take this segment to a whole new place. And all the listeners are going to start trading stock futures and bonds.
Were you seething? You were seething listening to Sam.
I was astonished. Plus, I'll be honest, Sam explained what a municipal bond and what a municipal bond rating was very well and why it matters. And I was like, okay, we know who can take over Fish on Friday if I have to retire. Sam can do it on Tuesday.
We
got all kinds of breaking news.
I know, we got news.
1 minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to let you run the segment in a minute, but I'm going to run the segment right now.
Thank you.
First of all, I know you talked about this, but Elon Musk turning on the supercomputer in 4 months, like a year before, you know, the early reports were, that's incredible. And that's, you know, private industry often gets things done quickly, but that's what happens when you use an established facility. I mean, they're out there burning natural gas to run the computers, you know, with generators. That's not really the great way to do this for their costs. But Elon Musk is in a race with Google, with Amazon, with Meta to offer AI services. And that kind of competition gets people to move quickly. So I was very impressed with that. We have all kinds of other breaking news this morning. President Biden announced that he will address the nation tomorrow at 8 o'clock. There's been some weird narrative.
8 p.m. Eastern?
8 p.m. Eastern. Sorry, 8 p.m. Eastern. He will give a speech explaining his decision not to seek re-election. There's been this whole weird narrative about why didn't he speak? Why isn't there a picture of him signing the document? Maybe he doesn't even know he's not running for re-election. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm almost half his age these days. I'm 50% younger than he is. And my wife and I had COVID simultaneously. And I told you this. At one point, while I had COVID, I was coughing and I needed a cough drop. And I was facing the middle of my bed and the cough drops were on the bedside table. And I had a conversation with myself about whether it was worth exerting the energy to roll over and get the cough drop, or I should just keep coughing.
Yeah, it's all fine. Let's be honest. I did not want to turn this segment into why he resigned, but he resigned because he was forced out because he knew he didn't want to win.
I'm just talking about when he's given the speech and whether he's been hiding. He hasn't been hiding in Rehoboth. He had COVID. It's okay to take 3 days off
before you give the speech.
You give the speech, if you can't talk, right?
But we do acknowledge he's stepping down because he's not running again. He's not stepping down. He's not running again because everybody knows it doesn't look likely that he would win, right?
I guess I would assume it's a combination of it doesn't look likely that he could win, that his staying in the race would also hurt the chances of members of Congress and members of the Senate who are also running rely on the top
bring the
ticket.
Whole thing crashing down.
And a third thing, which is that maybe he was persuaded that he himself wouldn't necessarily be the best person to be president 2 years from now because these things only go in one direction.
The Secret Service.
Yeah, anyway,
I'm sorry, you're running the show. Now we're each grabbing the wheel from each other.
You can do that.
Go
ahead. I'm ready for the Secret Service director.
Secret Service, go ahead. Resigned. Yeah.
Her name is Kimberly Cheadle. Again, weird online narrative that she came from PepsiCo. She has spent her whole career at the Secret Service. She joined the Secret Service out of college. She protected Vice President Dick Cheney. Remember him? You had to sort of put your hand over your eyes to look back in time to Dick Cheney in the George Bush administration. And she was the head of protective services. She should have resigned on the Sunday or Monday after the shooting at former President Trump's rally. But here's the interesting thing. This doesn't have to do with her decision. She owed the country her resignation.
And why didn't she resign before yesterday's testimony?
I don't know. What she got by testifying as a director yesterday was she got to defend the agency the way she wanted to, right? An interim director or a deputy director might not have had the ability to say, I'm not going to answer that question. Now, frankly, they always, I've covered police for years. She told members of the House of Representatives yesterday, I can't answer that question because, as you know, there's an active investigation. Well, the active investigation, the guy is dead. What is it that you're going to reveal to the members of Congress who control the agency? What are you going to reveal? Why didn't you say, here's what we know? You know, she was singularly unforthcoming. But here's the interesting thing. When Boeing had a problem with its 737, it grounded the 737. When NASA had a problem many times with spacecraft, Apollo, shuttle, you stop flying and figure out the problem. Every day, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, George Bush, and their family members all need protection, even as the agency is under scrutiny and, let's be honest, is under attack. And so somebody has to keep running the agency and making sure those people are all safe, including the Republican National Convention went off without a security hitch, and there couldn't have been more people in one place, right? That every member of Congress, the NATO summit, 30 heads of state from other countries went off without a hitch. They clearly do know what they're doing in the broad sense, and they're, but you don't get to stand down from the mission. Oh, we're not going to protect President Biden and former President Trump today because we need 3 months to get our act together. So kind of hard. That argues for resigning as well. A new person can say, I'm going to run the agency day to day. The investigation's over there. You know, let us know. Anyway, so lots of news. And the other news this morning, this story is really not getting enough attention. There's 100,000 Delta passengers trapped at the Atlanta airport because of the CrowdStrike cyber failure from Friday. Delta was hit much harder than every other airline. Their crew scheduling software was on this Windows platform that was disabled. 100,000 passengers at the Atlanta airport. They can't go to a hotel because every hotel is full. They can't rent a car because the rental car agencies don't anticipate having to provide cars to 25,000 families of four. They're trapped at the airport. There was a story this morning on CNN.
100,000 of them trapped at the airport?
100,000 of a woman from Arizona. How do you get from Atlanta to Arizona except on your Delta flight? You don't.
Now you rent a car, but you can't rent a car. There's no cars.
Can't rent a car. Yeah. No alternative flights. Everything's booked. Can't go stay at the Hilton Garden Inn or the Residence Inn or the Hampton Inn because they're all full. Now maybe if you keep maybe if you take an Uber an hour out of Atlanta, people are sleeping on the floor with their infants. The luggage system is broken down, and so I think we have to scroll back to Friday to the cyber attack.
Yeah, let's go there. What happened? First of all, by the way, there were two outages. There was this Microsoft.
Yeah, you're obsessed with this because you were affected by it.
It's fine. I don't need to be. But what happened with CrowdStrike? Explain to me what happened with CrowdStrike.
So CrowdStrike is a company that provides security to computers and to companies that have computer networks. So if you're a bank, if you're Delta Airlines, you don't want your system hacked. You got to keep going, right? Those systems are under attack all day, every day. All day, every day. I used to write for Fast Company magazine, and at one point, whatever, it was 2020, 2022, somebody from the IT team at Fast Company said to me, 80% of the email we get, and I thought he was going to say, is good. He said, 80% of the email we get is spam. We put all email in a bucket over here, and then we have a system to find the email that belongs to you. And it's only 1 in 5 emails that Fast Company receives. All the rest is junk. So that's just a little magazine and one little problem of it. So you buy security from a company like CrowdStrike. CrowdStrike is inside Delta Airlines. CrowdStrike is inside Provident Hospitals, providing real-time security all the time. What's coming in to the hospital system, does it belong here or not? And as part of that, they automatically update the software because the scams are updated every day. And so they sent out an update on Friday overnight at about I think it was 12:18 or 12:15 in the morning Eastern time, and that update was flawed. It wasn't the result of an attack. It was the result of their own programmers doing something wrong. The update was only out in the world for 78 minutes when CrowdStrike realized that it was bricking. It's so deep in the brains of all of the computers that it was updating that it's literally any computer that was on that was part of the CrowdStrike protective network received the update and then was turned into a brick. Literally, it became useless. And they stopped the update. They stopped rolling it out worldwide. This could have been a lot worse. They usually roll them out in geographic phases, like time zones or whatever, in case something happens, like this. But here's the thing. Like, in the Pacific Northwest, in Oregon and Washington State, there was a huge hospital chain whose anesthesia computers wouldn't work because they operated this Windows software that was broken by the update. And you tried to check in at 6 a.m. at your yoga studio with an online check-in system at a yoga studio that was bricked. And Delta Airlines schedules whatever it is, 50,000 employees a day using a system that was turned into a brick. And we talked a little bit about this last time. The good news is, on a typical day, the admissions office at the hospital and the Department of Surgery, and then the hospital floor where your mother or father goes after surgery, they all have access to the same information, and the information flows seamlessly around. And when Delta assigns crew to a flight, then the crew scheduling software makes sure that their hours are correct, that they get paid, that the airport where they're going knows they're coming, that the desk crew knows. Everything flows seamlessly. But when it doesn't work, the whole system crashes. Not the system at Provident Hospital or the system at Delta. The economy crashes.
So let me ask you this, because we're going to run out of time here. But you've talked about whatever cautionary tale, all of that. What can be done? We want these things to be linked, right? So what can be done, and what makes us think that anything will be done?
Right. Well, we want them to be linked because if each company used its own software, didn't use Microsoft Windows, if there were 100 companies doing this, God, it would make
Right.
It would make the pharmacy talk
to
doctors.
They're going to be linked. Right. It's going to be linked.
We want them to be linked. And so what I would say, what I said on Twitter was, this is not an insolvable problem. For instance, they send out updates. CrowdStrike send out updates. I would guess they probably send out 6 a day. So most of them work. Something failed in the testing, right? What I suggested is a kind of NTSB, National Transportation Safety Board style system. When there is this was the worst cyber failure in the history of the world. Millions of computers. You got people with their little babies trapped at the Atlanta airport 5 days later with nowhere to go because of this failure from CrowdStrike. To me, that I don't think the federal government has acted with the right level of urgency. I would have created a summit. Not just the U.S., it's a worldwide problem, Australia, France, India. Let's set some standards for how this stuff has to be tested. If CrowdStrike had rolled this out to 10,000 computers first instead of 10 million, they would have known. Those 10,000 people would have been unhappy.
You made a point to me that a lot of systems that have had incredible impacts, including on these 100,000 people stranded in Atlanta, have failed. But none of the mission critical, the folks flying the air, like those systems didn't fail.
The software flying the airplane didn't fail. The person in surgery receiving anesthesia didn't have the anesthesia machine turn off and then have to be revived or rescued or die. Right.
What does that tell us?
Well, all it tells you is that this particular program that Windows was running is the kind of program that is administrative. It also tells you that people do protect, like we talked about, the electric grid didn't go off, gas pipelines weren't rendered
blowing
unmanageable,
up, yes, right.
Right, weren't blowing up. Those systems tend to be hardened at another level. it's quite likely that the software that flies airplanes is not updated automatically. Somebody has to say, why are you updating this? What will it do? Let's have a look at it first and make sure this is what we want. But you can't run everything that way. You can't run your word processing programs that way. We don't have enough people. And so, but we can set standards for the way this works in such a way that we protect ourselves from this kind of massive fallout. And also, we need to investigate what happened. We don't. CrowdStrike told us that this was only out here 78 minutes.
All right, last, I've got to do a spot here real quick, Charles, and you got to go. You were nearly scammed, though.
Oh, I was scammed in the middle of this. I was trying to change my wife's mission critical American Airlines reservations, and somebody on Twitter who looked like an American representative offered to help me. We went to DMs on Twitter. I gave them a WhatsApp number. I was literally talking to them when my son's girlfriend said, "This sounds like a scam. Back out right now." All I had given them was my wife's reservation
confirmation. And they just approached you on Twitter.
And then I found them doing it to dozens and dozens and dozens of other people.
All right, thanks, Charles. Appreciate it.
Desperate for help.
On Twitter, @ C. Fishman. Thanks very much. If you are looking for a new bank, a new financial institution, if you need a home loan, if you need a car loan, an auto loan, if you're just fed up, honestly, go to Leaders Credit Union. Check it out. That's what we've done. We have signed up. We have an account at Leaders Credit Union. Because... say it with me. It exists purely for the benefit of its members. So better rates, better service, better technology. You can check it out online. LeadersCU.com/ESPN. Jeffrey, what is coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Jessica Benson will join them today. Tim Murray joins us on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff will join Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Back tomorrow for Now Work Is Done.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.